sitting in little groups because this is where your heart might sink a bit, but I'm not going to stand up. You can't settle back and enjoy a 45-minute snooze after the lovely breakfast, because this is only going to work if you are prepared to engage in discussion around your tables at various points, because the topic is community, and this is not a one-man lady speech thing. So you, hopefully you are awake enough and fed enough to feel that you can engage in some discussion. So you have to hurry up and eat. It's all right, you've got a second or two. So what we are going to be looking at is community, what that means for us, and in particular, where I hope we will kind of end up is thinking about who may be on the fringes of communities that we're involved in, and obviously particularly church community, that we might need to be made aware of, we might need to be conscious of, in order that we can be more inclusive. Next slide, Sarah, thank you. I like this picture because it kind of speaks of community, doesn't it? And I like little plasticine men anyway. But that kind of inclusiveness speaks of community, doesn't it? But if you notice, actually, where are they looking? They're all looking in, aren't they? So if you're all looking in like that and being very huddled together, how can you be aware of what's going on around you? So at the by the end of the morning, well, not the very end of the morning, but the end of our time together, I'm hoping that what I will have been able to do is perhaps just ask one or two questions that make you go away and think. And if I've achieved that, then I will be pleased. So what I would like you to do to start with is just to think about, and I think that's the next slide, Sarah, thank you, what is community? What defines community? You know, what are the essential elements of what a community is? So just for 2 or 3 minutes, just think together around your tables, what is community? I don't expect you to come up with a dictionary definition, but what is community? Okay, I'll keep the times of talking short, because if they go on and on and on, you kind of drift off, don't you, into other things. What sorts of things have you thought about? Groups, okay, yeah. Neighbourhoods. Neighbourhoods, lovely.
Having a common interest.
Having a common interest, yeah.
Belonging.
Belonging, lovely. Sorry, groups, neighbourhood, common interest. And belonging. Anything else? Support networks. Geographic. Yeah. 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 Sorry? Communication. Which is fine if you can hear. Geography, geographic.
Faith.
Okay.
Online.
Yeah, good. That's good. Very good. The thanks, Sarah. If you look up community in definitions and, you know, Wikipedia and that sort of thing, what you get are these sorts of things. A community is a social unit of any size, and it made the point that actually a community could be a small neighbourhood, but actually you can have international communities these days, so it's not defined necessarily by size, shares common values, so there has to be something in common for a community to be a community, whether that's what they do or how they spend leisure or where they live. There's something in common. And it's about having relationship that is not just based on family. So it's about relationship ties to that community that extend beyond that of family. And there's something of the shared experience. And it comes from the Latin communis, which means things held in common. And you can immediately see other words that might be derived from community that actually might help bring understanding. But we're not going to go down that road, because otherwise that'll take us off in a different direction. Okay. If that defines community, and we know something about the experiences of community, that it's shared experience and so on, what sorts of communities are there? We've touched on one or two here, but now I want you to think about some communities either that you're involved in, belong to, or that you know of. So another 2 or 3 minutes, what communities are there? How did you get on that time? What sorts of things did you come up with? Sorry? A great long list. Let's have some headlines. Village. Lovely. Okay. Pubs, yeah. Can see where you went. What else? Church. Schools, yeah. Leisure groups, yeah. Online. Sorry, Carol. Leisure groups online. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a care home, yeah. Workplace, yeah. Prisons. School. Mm-hmm. So fan clubs type things. Fan clubs, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Fan clubs of football teams and pop stars and things, yeah. Shared interests. Like?
Swimming.
Dance groups, I guess. Yeah. Hobbies, yeah. Yeah. Self-help groups, yeah. Girl guides. Lovely. And lots of others. My list, very short list, was, thanks, Sarah. I've got some, in fact, I've got all of those. Yeah. So they are examples of community. And what is interesting, I think, is that with all of those, there is, in a sense, a kind of a membership that they're what you might call more formal communities, aren't they? Because a village is defined by where you live. So if you live in that village, you belong to that community. You may choose not to participate, but you belong to that community. If you belong to a community that kind of meets in a pub, then again, that is a kind of the setting that defines it. Church is the same. You can belong to church. If you are in a school, if you're in a school class, that defines your membership, doesn't it, of that group. What about informal communities? Informal communities where perhaps the membership is more nebulous and it's not quite so defined, and yet nevertheless a community exists. Now, to give you an example, and then I'll set you on your thinking for 2 or 3 minutes again, think about the commuters who get the same train every day, who sit in the same seats every day, and see the same people every day. If you think about the definition of community that we had at the beginning, there is shared experience, they're on the same train, there's common purpose, they're going to the, at least somewhere on the same line together, they're there at the same time. And they might actually get to the point of a kind of a nodding acquaintance as they get on the train together. That is also a community, and yet it is not so formalised as some of these things. So think about what sort of informal communities might exist or you might be aware of or actually might belong to that aren't quite so defined as these things. Things moving on. How did you get on with that one? Is that harder? So what did you come up with? A working community. Yeah, okay. Okay, so working communities, yeah. Smokers outside bars, yep, yep. Yep. Walking to work, yes. If you see the same people, yep, yep, yep. Yep. Dog walking, good one. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Children's groups. Yes, they're certainly a community. I might be inclined to put them in the previous thing, but yeah, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, children's groups. What else? Yes, people who go to the gym or swimming or something like that at the same time every morning and see the same people. Supermarket, did somebody say? Yes, yeah. Pressure groups, yeah, yeah. You will see where I'm going with this in a minute. It will begin to make some sense, I hope. A pressure group. Somebody want to define a pressure group? I can give it a go, but... campaigners, lobby groups, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good, you did well with that. The things that I had, thanks Sarah, railway carriage example. An example like my dad had a series of radiotherapy appointments last year, and he actually had to go for 7 weeks. And there was a real sense of community that formed because he went at the same time, Monday to Friday, for 7.5 weeks and saw exactly the same people. And that community, it was a kind of a transient community in that sense because it wasn't going to last forever. But at that point in time, they were a very real support to one another. People who swim at the same time each day. What about playgrounds? Way to picking your kids up after school. And if you go on some sort of holiday together, whether it's a coach holiday or go camping, communities can form then, can't they? You know, people you've never met before, people you didn't choose to go with, and yet nevertheless you're put together for a bit and then go and may never see them again. Lovely. Now I want to translate those two questions, formal communities and informal communities, into church. So I'm going to put the two questions into one now. What formal communities exist within church? And what informal communities exist within church? Because I think we probably have both. But think about it. See what you make of it. Formal communities within church and informal communities. Interesting. Yeah, interesting. Okay. I've lost my scribe. She's gone to make a cup of tea. So, no, that's all right, Carol. Don't. I'll do it. That was really mean, wasn't it? Yes, I'll have a cup of tea. Thank you. Okay. Let's start with the formal ones because they're probably the easier ones. So, small groups, yeah, house groups, Bible study groups, whatever you want to call them. Worship groups. Friday CAF. The services, yeah, the services themselves, yeah. What other groups? Children's groups, yeah. DCC, yeah, leadership, welcome groups, youth work, yeah, prayer meetings. And prayer was the last one, yeah. Any others? Sorry? Worship team? Yeah. Staff, yeah, good. Any others? Pods, yeah? As in heads of departments, do you mean? Oh, pods! I stepped into work there. Hods, heads of departments. Oh, pods, thank you. I think I need to go and have my ears. Pods, yeah. Okay, what about the other group, the informal groups? How did you get on with that one? Revive? Some might straddle, but... baptisms, yes, baptisms, yes. Parents and children of Sunday, of the... So kind of young families, kind of, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Socializing with each other, but nothing formally...
So kind of friendship groups, yeah. 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 Okay. Work with the schools, yeah. Sorry, somebody was going to say something. Where you sit. So in a sense, your neighbourhood in church. Going down the pub after the service, yeah. I'm learning things this morning. Any others? I wondered about the people who kind of come in late and huddle at the back, you know. You've done well with that, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But what I want to do first of all is we will have something from the Bible, and I'm going to talk about something for a few minutes, and I hope then there'll be another question or two, but then I hope you'll see the relevance, and I hope you'll see how this all kind of fits together. Just keeping an eye on the time here. So I'm reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. And it's headed up, A Man with Leprosy. A man with leprosy came to him, that came to Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. I want you to think about that for just a second, that scene. Picture the scene. Picture the crowds, the heat. Jesus talking, surrounded by people, the crush of the people, the heaving of the crowd as everybody was wanting to hear what Jesus was saying. And then you hear the sound of a bell. And that bell is the sound that brings fear, because it's the sound of the bell that somebody carries around their neck by law of the time. And it warned people of their presence, because the bell was worn by somebody with leprosy. And people would associate that sound with unclean. They would associate that sound with fear. And can you just imagine that people would then be looking around to see where the sound was coming from? And then can you think how the crowds just might have parted as people backed away to let this man come through? And then in that space that's been created is Jesus and this man with leprosy. A disease that people feared. Actually, a disease that these days is very, very curable. That person would have appeared to the crowd as somebody to be frightened of. Somebody that might have been fearful to look at because of the way that the disease can affect people. They might well have been smelly. The lepers, of course, had their own community because that's where they had to live, on the outsides of the villages and so on. The deformities that it brings. So they would have been scary to look at. That whole person represented fear to that crowd. Because leprosy starts by damaging the small nerves of fingers and toes and so on, it means that when people walked, they didn't feel pain. So if they stepped on a stone and it created an ulcer, it then didn't heal. And because people weren't aware of it, it just got worse and worse and worse. And so that would smell too. And because people couldn't detect grit in their eyes, they would go blind. So I've got a picture, Sarah. Thank you. Just somebody with hands who's got leprosy. Actually, we can treat it now with drugs that are very similar to TB drugs because it's very similar to the bacterium that causes TB. So we know a lot about it now. But then it was a fearsome thing. But this man comes to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't back away. He stands still. The crowd, you can imagine the tension in the crowd, can't you? They wanted to be far enough away not to be contaminated, but close enough to see what might happen and to hear what might be being said. And he comes to Jesus with a question, and he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." That's quite a question, isn't it? Because I heard somebody say the other day, there are often two questions around healing. The first question is, does Jesus heal today? And we might all go, yeah, of course he heals today. But will he heal me? And that's a different question, isn't it? And a different answer, perhaps. And it says in the reading that the verses that I read, that Jesus was filled with compassion. Now, compassion isn't a nice kind of gentle sort of word. If you go back to the roots of compassion, it churns the guts. It actually moves from the guts. And so Jesus was driven to act because he was filled with compassion. He had a compulsion to respond. And it wasn't just this man's body that needed healing. It was his whole life, because having leprosy meant that he was cut off from his family, he was cut off from his work, he was cut off from the synagogue, he was cut off from the temple, he was cut off from his community. So he was taken out and put in a completely different place. Just as an aside, there is a really good book by somebody whose name I've now forgotten called The Island. And it is about Victoria Hislop, that's the one. And if you haven't read it, have a read, because it is about an island off the Greek coast that up until something like the 1940s was the leper colony for Greece. And although it's a novel, it gives you real insight into leprosy, the disease, and what it does to people. So what does Jesus do? Can you imagine the crowd holding their breath as they just wait and see? And Jesus does the unthinkable. He does what every other person in that crowd would not contemplate doing. What was that? What did he do? He touched him. And normally speaking, Jesus the clean, touching the leper, the unclean, would have made Jesus unclean. But actually what happened here was Jesus the clean touched the unclean, and what happened? The unclean became clean. So it happened, it's the other way round. So Jesus turned it on its head, and healing flowed. So what has that to do with our subject this morning? Well, We don't have leprosy, to my knowledge, in High Brooms, but we might have lepers. So what I want you to do just for a couple of minutes, and this is where we need to be a bit sensitive, because in asking the question, who might be the lepers of today? Who might be the outcasts of today? There may actually be people around your table who feel that they are, in some capacity, some sort of outcast, or they don't quite belong in some way. So just be careful how the conversation is held, because this is not about stamping on each other's toes. This is about trying to open our eyes and be a bit more understanding of people that might be on the fringe, or might feel they're on the fringe, or actually we don't know that they're on the fringe. Does that make sense? So just think about who might be the lepers, the outcasts of today. How did you get on with that one? Our time is drawing to a conclusion. So who are the lepers and the outcasts today? All of us. That's a good answer. Yeah, that is a good answer, actually, because in some way or another, all of us are a leper or an outcast, yeah? Okay, so people with learning disability, yeah. And homeless, yeah. Any sort of disability. Any sort of disability. Whether it's seen or not, visible or not, actually. Sorry, Liz.
I was only thinking any people that can't hear, for example, or very elderly people.
Yeah.
Psychiatric illnesses that we're a bit uncertain about.
Yes. Yeah. So kind of mental health type issues. And they're not immediately visible either, are they? Yes. Yes. Did you all hear that? Correct me if I didn't say this quite right. People with a mental health issue might find it difficult to connect with those around them. Okay. People are on their own, yeah. And lots of people are on their own, aren't they? You know, we could think of people who are single, people who are bereaved, people who are sick, people who are maybe in some sort of violent or abusive relationship. They may not be on their own, but they might feel very on their own. Different nationalities, yes, yeah, and colour. Yes, unemployed. Yeah. Young single mothers, yes. New people in the church, yeah.
People that are uncomfortable with the
churchmanship, with the music, or feel their faith isn't. Yes. Yeah. So people who are feeling uncomfortable with some aspect of church life, whether it's the type of music or the songs that are sung or the spirituality or something of the church, yeah. And probably in that list, actually, we've encompassed all of us, haven't we, in some way or another? No? Go and be controversial.
Single Christians whose lifestyle don't live up to our values.
Okay.
People that singles that are promiscuous, and singles that are homosexual.
Okay. Did you all hear that? So Christians who, sorry, let me get that right. So Christians who don't live up to our values.
Yeah, don't live up to Christian values.
Don't live up to Christian values. So maybe Christians who are promiscuous or gay.
Or gay, yeah.
Yeah.
And single,
yeah. Thank you. I've chosen this this slide because the challenge for us as a church community, I think, is how do we open our circle and allow somebody to come and join that circle who is different? Can we go back, Carol, to the informal and formal memberships communities in the church? Thank you. Because the challenge for us, I think, as a community, and actually for any kind of church community, the challenge is that the formal ones, you can kind of say, can I belong to a house group, please? Or, yes, I'd like to be in a pod. Or, I've got children, so can they join the youth work? You can sign up to those, can't you? How do you get into those? How do you get into an informal group that actually doesn't have membership, doesn't have definition, doesn't have anything obvious, and yet nevertheless there is a network? How do you, if you're on the outside looking in and thinking, there's a group there that actually I can see is meeting a need and really getting on with one another and really being supportive, but how do I get in?
With difficulty.
With difficulty. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all right if you comply. So if you say some of the smokers outside and thought you'd like to get involved with them, then you could take up smoking, but you may not.
It's drastic, but you could take up smoking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the trouble is, if you are looking into a group that is a fringe, you know, is an informal group, and you are feeling something of an outcast, for whatever reason that may be, for any of those reasons on those lists, if you are feeling something of an outcast, how likely are you to be able to say to somebody, I'd like to be in your friendship group, or I'd like to be in your whatever it is? You probably wouldn't. So how can that change? And that, I think, is the challenge for us as a church. How, it's not so much these groups, it's these groups. And notices. Yeah, and notices. So what I'm going to suggest, actually, to finish off is, because that's the kind of the question I want you to go away with. What do I need to see in the groups that I have where I am in church? What do I need to notice? Are there people that actually are longing to be part of what I'm part of and yet just haven't got that opportunity? So just for the last few minutes, and if you have to go, you know, feel free to go, but why don't you pray around your tables? Or if you're not comfortable with praying around your tables, just mull that over for a minute or two. How do we, because actually it comes down to us, doesn't it? How do we notice? Okay. Sarah, is that my last slide? Is there another one? Yeah, thank you. Is there anything you want to kind of feedback or share at this point? Yeah. 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 And two examples of where I know that churches have done specific things, and I'm not for one minute saying that this is something that we should adopt at St. Matt's, although it might be something we'd want to, but the Tunbridge Wells Christian Fellowship some years ago had a deaf person in their as part of their congregation. And because that person was missing out on sermons and things, a small group of people decided that they were going to learn to sign. And they went to night school and did sign language. And actually what happened was that more deaf people came to the church because there was something there that enabled them to participate. So that's, you know, that is just an example. And I know of another church where their welcome team, when somebody new comes into the church and they're identified at the door as somebody who hasn't been there before, somebody from the welcome team on the door actually takes them to somebody in the church and says, "This is so-and-so, they're new here today, it's the first time they've been, can they sit with you?" And then that gives them a connection. And there's an immediate kind of introduction. And actually, in finding out something about them, if there is then an obvious person to connect with in the church, that person might then say, "Well, actually, I'll introduce you to this person as well because they share whatever it is," you know. Ways that actually we could think about helping people who, you know, just come in that have never been here before. But there are lots of other things, I'm sure, and what I've wanted to do today is to ask the questions, not to necessarily provide the answers or to think about, you know, groups that we could set up to meet this need or that need or the other need, but actually to ask the questions and to leave you with that, "So what can I do?" Okay, so let's just pray, and then we'll, unless you want to pray, Carol, do you? Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have made us with that sense of needing to belong. And for some of us, we have the privilege of being in families that really enable us to belong and to be loved and cherished. Thank you that you have provided church communities and other communities where we can also belong and feel loved and cherished. And yet, Lord, we know for ourselves and we know for others that sense of belonging doesn't come easily for all sorts of reasons. And so, Lord, would you help us to be attentive, to be aware, and where we can, to offer a gesture, to offer a way in. And Lord, if it's we ourselves today who are feeling like an outcast or feeling that we don't belong, would you give us that ability, that courage to take a step that would be perhaps the first step on the path to being able to belong? Because we know, Lord, in some senses there it is two-way, but so often people on the fringes can't take that step. So Lord, help us to be mindful, help us to be aware, help us to be inclusive. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one of us here today. Bless us through the remainder of the day in all that we have to do. And we ask this in your name. Amen.